Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And I want you to understand that it is possible to have a blessed day. I am your radio host, Dr. Emmanuel Odayo, and I want you to know something, that your day, you have been designed by God, and every day has its own blessings, but it is your own right to claim your blessings. And I want you to understand there's something that is so powerful that God has placed in our life. That is our mind. I will encourage you this morning to take control of your mind and direct it to whatever you want. And what you want should be positive. What you want should be a blessing either to you or to others. Are you listening to me this morning? Wherever you are, all over the world, it is possible for you to have a blessing. It is very, very possible. Let's dive into today's message as Tony Robbins, one of the great speakers of our time. He has something great for you and I. And I want you to understand, this year is your year, a year of plentiful of blessing. Are you ready? Let's just get in and hear. Let's dive down to this world of success.
Regardless of what's happened to us. And I know you know the answer. The answer is the power of choice. The one thing we have in this world is we can't control the events, but we can choose what to focus on, we can choose what things mean, and we can choose what to do. Those three choices, those three decisions really control our life. It's not so much the conditions of our life that control our destiny as much as it's the decisions of our life. Try for a second to think about something. Think about your life. And just think about, are there a few decisions? If I were to ask you two decisions you've made in your life, you know that if you would have made a different decision, you would have had a totally different life. I mean, it may be a life may have been better, it may have been worse, I don't know, but you would have had a different life. I'm not asking you to buy into the fact that you should have known the answers. I'm just want you to see the power of a decision. How is your life better today because of the decision you made years ago, not just negative ones? Think about it. Sometimes a little decision changes your whole life. Like you decide one day to go to a certain school, and you go to that school or to go eat someplace, and you bump into the person that becomes the love of your life. Or you meet someone, and you decide as a result of that that you're going to become a photographer or a software engineer or a business person or a doctor, a dentist, whatever. They impacted you, but you made the decision, that's what I really want. That's what my life's going to be about. And that decision has affected so much of your life, what you do, how you live your life, how you spend your time, what you earn or don't earn, you know, who you attract into your life, beliefs you have, all come from some of these little decisions. What you decide to eat from your dinner plate each night certainly determines your physical destiny, right? We all know that, at least to a certain extent. I know there's a certain amount that's genetics, but I'm talking about the stuff you and I can control. So decisions equal destiny, not our conditions, it's our decisions. So if we want a new life, if we want a new experience, we've got to make new choices. If you don't like the way your career is or your business is, change it. If you don't like your body, change it. If you don't like your relationship, change you first, because if you change it, you'll bring you to the next one. Maybe it's time to change it too, but change yourself first. If you want to change anything in your life, you have the choice. So there's no right or wrong. I just want to make you aware in this breakthrough session that everything in our life changes the moment we make a decision. And I mean a real decision. A decision is when you cut off any other possibility and you commit to something with everything you've got and you take action. But the big decisions start with little decisions like, what am I going to focus on? Because whatever you focus on, you're going to feel. If you focus on all the things that have been done to you in your life, of course you're going to feel like hell. If you focus on all the amazing coincidences that have happened, things that maybe they were guided, maybe not, but things happen, and because of that, you met this person that's your best friend, your husband, your wife, or because of that, you have this ability, or because you were there that day, God, you missed an accident. I don't know what it is, but whatever you focus on, you're going to feel. If you focus on people don't care, and you'll look for reasons why they don't care, and evidence they don't care, you'll find it everywhere. If you look for evidence that people are really good people inside, that at some level we all care about each other, you'll find it. Seek and you shall find. Secret is, have you become conscious about your decision-making? Because this breakthrough session is, really, you want to change your life, make new choices. New life comes from new choices, but you got to make conscious choices. The people in this particular television special, Melissa and her husband, they really found themselves in a place where they were both making decisions, Melissa and Rick, that were unconscious. When you make decisions about what to focus on and what things mean and what to do, and you're unconscious, you get pretty terrible results usually. Now, we've all done this. I do it still. We all do. But if you want to change your results, you've got to become more conscious in your decision-making. So think about it. What you focus on, you will feel, whether it's true or not. You focus on how people don't care, you're going to feel they don't care. Second decision you make is, what do things mean? So you focus on something someone does, and you come up with a meaning, and the meaning is, no one loves me. The meaning is, they're trying to take advantage of me. Depending on what meaning you come up with, and you get to choose the meaning of anything. For some people, they say, this situation happened with the economy, and what that means is, I'm going broke. Somebody else said, the situation happened with the economy, guess what? That means I'm going to work harder, I'm going to be more creative, it changed everything. Everybody else is going to quit, so we're going to dominate the marketplace. For people to do it. Is this the end right now, or is it the beginning? See, whether it's the end or beginning is your choice. You get to decide, because once you make up a meaning, it's true. If you think of this as the end of a relationship, are you going to treat people the same way as if you think it's the beginning of a relationship? No way. In fact, I tell people, if you want to have a great relationship, think about this. Treat people like you did in the beginning of the relationship, and there won't be an end. in the beginning of the relationship, when somebody says to you, would you take out the trash, what do you say? Of course, take out the trash. You're happy to do anything, right? But after about 6 months or 6 years, you go, take out the trash. You go, what do you mean? Why, I look like your janitor? Take out your own trash. The meaning we give things is very different, and so we feel different, and our life is different. In the beginning, you'll do anything for someone. Now you make up a new meaning. Why should I have to do that for them? Little choices, like what to believe about yourself, what to believe about other people, whether this is the end or the beginning, start to affect your whole life. And the third decision we make, we decide what to focus on, most of us unconsciously. We decide what things mean, and the third thing we decide is, what are we going to do? We decide to quit because it's overwhelming. We decide to get strong and focus. We decide we're going to turn it around. We decide to wait and see. Ultimately, your destiny is determined by what you do. So, for example, what do you do if somebody comes to you one day and says you have a tumor? Again, I had that experience. I use that as a reference point because I've had a lot of intense experiences in my life, but that was one of the more intense ones for sure. I had many, but that was very intense. You know, first, what do you focus on? Do you focus on it's over? Do you focus on why me? Do you give it a meaning that says I'm going to die? What do you do? Just go through a traditional therapeutic approach? You put yourself in the hands of someone else? Do you evaluate this? Do you get a second or third opinion? Your destiny is determined by your decisions. Now, if you're a guy like Lance Armstrong, you focus immediately on, I got to find a solution. The meaning you come up with is, this is the ultimate battle. And what you decide to do is you're going to exhaust every possibility. Now, that doesn't guarantee you're going to succeed, but it's interesting. When you have that kind of a mindset, it shifts you. And Lance Armstrong, I mean, he was told things like, look, you got tumors here in your brain, you got them in your lungs, right? You got, obviously, in testicles, and you ride a bike for a living. That's pretty tough. But he made it through all those pieces. Now, am I saying because he made the right choices? I can't tell you that. There's certainly some grace in everything. I think in life, there's three things. There's our ability to choose what we're focused on, or to commit, to get a result, to put all our intention and focus into something. There's our ability to do the right things, to have the right strategy, to execute. And then there's some grace. There's what some people call luck, some people call grace. There's if you do the right things over and over again and with total focus, sometimes, you know, you get good fortune that comes your way. And you tend to have more good fortune when you're totally focused and decisive and you take lots of action than if you kind of just sit around and accept things like you don't have a future. But the point of the matter is, this guy turned it around. What was he like after he got through this problem? After he had his breakthrough, after he faced cancer, racing against some other guy seemed like nothing by comparison. You're not much of a competitor. I faced death. And he goes on to win Tour de France after Tour de France after Tour de France, breaking every record anyone could ever imagine. What do you do, like decades ago, half a century ago almost now, and someone says to you, go to the back of the bus, and you're African-American. One woman just decided, you know what, you can't take my dignity from me. I can only give that up, and I don't choose to give it up, and I will not go back to the bus. The answer is no. And Rosa Parks changed an entire society. Because that day she chose to focus on something else. She gave it a different meaning. This is not a command. You do not have control over me. And she decided to fight. And she changed the direction of a country and of many other countries. She started something. We forget that you don't have to be famous to have the ability to change at least your own personal history, to change the direction we go in our life. We have the power to choose, even if you haven't before. You can finally say, no more. I won't put up with that. Within myself or from anybody else. And here's what I'm going to do differently. That's where the breakthroughs really start to happen. Now the question is, why do some people stand their ground and make something change versus other people just kind of accept things? Why do some people make bold decisions and other people make decisions that are based on trying to hang on to what they've got? Well, that's a more complex question to answer than we might have in a few minutes in this one session, but it is one that I've spent my life studying, because when you can change your decisions, you can change your life. When you can change the force that controls your decisions, you can change anything in your life. At some level, we have certain beliefs and values, but if I was going to make it simple, I'd say there's two things that determine your choices. The first thing is the state of mind and emotion you're in at that moment. Think about it. Have you ever snapped at somebody and had nothing to do with them? It was just the state you're in, right? You're frustrated, you're pissed off about something, and in that state of mind, whatever they said got interpreted to that state, and you made up a meaning like they're an irritant or they're interrupting you. They weren't. But I felt bad afterwards. When we get in a wrong state, we make the wrong decisions. When you get in a strong, empowering state, you'll make a better decision. Learning how to direct your state is a big part of what my work is with people, and it's a big part of what I do in my seminars. But the other thing that affects your decisions would be what I would call your story or your blueprint. We all have kind of a story about how our life is supposed to be. It comes from a set of life experiences, interpretations. Some people think life is all about getting theirs. Some people think life is about growing and contributing. Some people think life is about making judgments. Some people think life is about saving other people's lives. Some people think life is about being successful. Some people think God is the basis of everything, and the way to know God is to go through life in a very specific way, with a set of rules that make following. And that's what they believe. Whatever your story is, whatever your blueprint is just another way of saying, whatever you believe is how your life is supposed to be, at some level, we either follow that blueprint or we fight it. If we follow it or we fight it, we're going to find that we're going to bump into things in life where life isn't always the same as we expect it to be or think it should be. And that's where we start to experience stress. So in this session of Breakthrough, when you watch this story and you saw Melissa, you saw the conflict between what you desired most and what you feared most. I really believe life is the dance between what you desire most and fear most. That's where you find where we live our life, the dance between what you want most and what you fear most. That's where all that energy is in life. So what does she want? She wants to be famous. She wants to be able to sing and have everyone hear her voice and be able to touch everyone. She wants to contribute. She wants to share her gift. And she definitely wants to be famous and successful. She needs to be closer to her children. And one of the big challenges in life is oftentimes what we want and what we need are two different things. She has five boys. They're all extremely young, as I'm sure you saw. And she has a husband. And while they're all supportive of her going on this journey, somewhere along the line, she lost that connection to what was most important. Now, is she a bad person to make bad decisions? No, good people make bad decisions when they get in lousy states, when our ego gets involved, or when we start believing our story. And here was the story she had. Being a mom's important, but the bigger gift God gave me is my singing voice. And once we get seduced into a particular story, and we start to believe it, it takes a hold of our life and it controls all of our choices. And then pretty soon, bad choice on top of bad choice on top of bad choice starts to affect our life. Can you relate? How many times have you made some choices that you wish like hell you would have made a different decision back then, and or that no one ever knows the stupid decisions you made? I know I can relate to that. So what I want to talk to you about today, this brief little session, is how to break through a crisis. Crises happen, whatever type of crisis you go through in your life, and I know you've had many, when we make some choices unconsciously and we get consequences. And we make them unconsciously because we're trying to get what we want. We don't really know what we value most. We don't know what we need. And we find ourselves waking up one day and going, why is my life this way? It's kind of like life is always calling to us to constantly grow and improve. You know, if you're going to look at what's going to make life work, it's really simple. What makes people happy is progress. We're happy when we're progressing. If you're overweight, but you leave today and you say, you know what, this breakthrough thing, what I got out today for me more than anything else is, I've been stuck waiting for some magical diet, some magical exercise plan, some magical time in the future when we have more time. There is more, no more time. I don't need a week wait for that. I'm just going to make a decision today to get started. I don't need to go out there and go interview 20 trainers and get online. I don't need somebody to give me a perfect plan. I need to pick up my shoes and start walking. I need to just get somebody behind me who just goes, run. I don't need a wait for perfection. I'm going to do something right now. I choose to get fit. I choose to walk. I choose to run. I choose to go join a club. I'm doing it now. A breakthrough happens the moment you make a new choice. And you don't have to wait. You can just get yourself in a new state. Maybe this tape will get you doing. Or just have to have a new thought that says, you know what? I made choices in the past. I'm overweight because I chose to eat this and this. I'm not going to eat it anymore. I'm changing now. You can change your whole life real fast with just a few choices. But if you don't make the right choices, eventually you're going to face a crisis. Crisis is when you make so many poor choices that sooner or later life shows up, and instead of asking gently for you to change and improve, to grow, to make progress, to be happy, life, when it's a crisis, now demands change. It isn't asking anymore. We borrowed money as a society, and we overspent, and we talked about changing, and we knew we had to change, and now crisis happens, and guess what? Nobody has a choice. The game has changed. And what crisis does is it melts us down. It melts us down so that we can recast our life. We can remold ourselves. And usually on the other side, our life is greater because as we go through that crisis, we have to grow. Everybody wants change. Nobody wants to do it. Everybody, I should say, wants progress, but nobody wants to change. Everybody wants their life better, but nobody wants to do the push-ups, the running, have the economic or emotional discipline to make it happen. But if you're watching this right now and you're still with me, some part of you wants more. And I'm saying to you, choose it. And the way you're going to choose it is really simple. If you're in that crisis, what keeps you in the crisis is probably because you're being reinforced. Most people, they overeat, or they smoke, or they drink, or they yell at people. They keep doing it because they're rewarded. Whatever gets rewarded gets reinforced. Whatever habit or behavior is reinforced becomes a habit, and then pretty soon, do it long enough, it becomes part of your personality, and pretty soon you think it's who you are, and you just keep living that way. I mean, it's easy to see this in other people, right? It's easy to see how messed up they are and how easy they could if they just make some new choices. All you got to do is turn on the television, some news program, some entertainment program, and you'll hear detailed descriptions about some person who is a very powerful celebrity who is doing some stupid thing. Why do we see all this stuff on television? Why do we hear about every person you can imagine, from Lindsay Lohan to Britney Spears to all the way back to the old days, it was Elvis or Michael Jackson or whoever it is that's in the news today in this stage of life in your country as you're watching this? It's because we want to see other people make bad decisions so we can feel better about our own. But the reason those people don't change, Lindsay Lohan, she's got another DUI. She's putting herself at risk. She's putting other people where she could kill someone. She goes to jail. It's supposed to be 90 days. But here's the consequence. It goes to 2 weeks. And before she even gets out of the jail, she makes a deal for an interview and gets paid $1 million when she gets out for the interview. What do you think the chances of her changing when her bad behavior gets her $1 million, and I don't know if she even makes that for that much time of acting at this stage? What do you think the chances are when people around her say it's not your fault, it's not fair, they treat you unfairly? As long as we have the decision that we're not responsible, it's not our fault, we can't change anything, we have no power. So I don't know if by the time you watch this, if Lindsay will have changed, but if she did, it'll be because the enablers are gone. She's taken responsibility, and she's found something she values more than attention and money for bad behavior. Now, it's easy to look at that with her, but what about you and I? Where are you and I addicted to our problems? Where are you and I reinforced? So many people, when they have a big problem, listen, if things are going well, you say, oh, it's going so great. Your friends go, well, that's great. And after a while, they go, well, easy for you. But if you got a problem, people go, hey, I understand, and they connect with you. Where do we get addicted to our problems? If you want to make a new choice, if you want to make a new decision today, if you want to have a breakthrough in some area of your life, you got to give up the story that it's not your fault, and you got to give up the attention and the love and the connection and the commiserating that comes with it with other human beings. Here's how you change. 5 simple, quick steps, and then I'm going to give you a little tool that if you want to, you can go online and really make a change with. If you're going to change your life, step one, I don't care if something has happened to you. You know, somebody has spilled oil all over where you fish. It's horrific. It's disgusting how they dealt with it, but it's happened, and you got to deal with it. Something's happened. Someone in your family has been injured. You've lost your job. I don't care what the problem is. If you're in a crisis, step number one, see it as it is, but don't see it worse than it is. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean be sinister or miss positive thinking. By now, if you spend any time with me, you know I'm not about that. I'm not here to tell you, go to that garden and chant, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds. Doing affirmations is not going to change your life. You've got to go see where the weeds are and pull them out. My point is simple. You've got to see what the problem is, but you can't make it so horrific that you just give up. Today, this is the first generation in almost 100 years of Americans who now believe, the majority of Americans now believe, that the quality of life for themselves and their kids in the future is going to be worse than the past. They have, in other words, nothing to look forward to. 63% of the U.S. as of today. Wow. When you start thinking there is no future, you go into what we call learned helplessness, a place where you just kind of give up. And if you get to that place of giving up, then you have no power over your life. That's when people get depressed. That's when people do crazy, stupid things. That's when people want to turn to drugs or alcohol or sometimes suicide or just total frustration and anger, and their life starts to do the opposite of a breakthrough. It becomes completely stuck and in pain or in ongoing suffering. If you and I are going to break out of that, we got to see it as it is. We're not here to be positive thinking people. You got to see what's really going on. But if you're overweight, you can't say to yourself, well, I'm big boned. That's not why you're overweight. You're overweight because you don't work out, you eat certain things, you eat Cheetos all day long, watching TV. I don't know what it is you do, but I know it's not just because you're big boned. You don't want to make it so it's outside your control and you can't change it. So see it as it is, but don't see it worse than it is so that you have no reason to try. Does that make sense? That's the first step. Step two, get to the real truth and deal with it. Don't just see it as it is and not worse than it is. Don't just, like, balance it, but now get to the truth. I mean, listen, if the truth is you've been trying to get a job for 2 years and you truly have worked every day in a particular industry, and the number of jobs in that industry has shrunk down, and you really aren't getting that job, then you might have to look at the truth. The truth is you might have to retool. You might have to say, gosh, you know, the industry I'm in is gone. I mean, gross, simplistic example, but for years, Vinyl Records were around for 85 years. It was a gigantic industry. And things came and went. During the vinyl record time, what happened? Well, there was, remember those 8-track tapes? Are you ancient enough to remember those things? If you know somebody remembers those things. These big boxes, you push them in and out. Yeah, 8-tracks came and went. Vinyl records were still here. And then cassette tapes came, right? And cassette tapes were smaller and more compact and more convenient and more seemingly indestructible. And they came, were here, and vinyl records were still selling like crazy. If you had a job in vinyl records, you kept it. But then a little thing came along called the CD. And when that happened, almost overnight, you saw an entire industry that had been around almost a century was gone. You were the guy that worked in the vinyl record factory and knew everything about it. It was the second generation. Didn't matter. It was over. And now we laugh about a CD, right? Because everything in this digital world, you can have instantly. Who wants to put in a CD? Pretty rare. Still available. In vinyl records, maybe there's a small market of people that are collectors, but it's gone. My point is, if you're in the vinyl record business, you've got to tell yourself the truth. You got to see it as it is, not worse than it is, but you also got to get the truth and deal with it. You got to deal with the cards you're dealt. You're going to have to retool. You're going to have to change something. You might have to move. If you live in the Gulf, and I don't support anything that's happened there, who could? It's unconscionable what's happened with BP. But if you live in the Gulf and you're a third-generation fisherman, and you fish for oysters, and they're dead, you better get to the truth. Are they going to be dead for 2 years or 10 or 20 to the best of your ability?
Hi, friends, you've just listened to Tony Robbins, and I want you to understand that it is possible for you to have a blessed day. As you listen to this recording, I want you to keep on, you know, playing it on and on. Tomorrow we will continue this episode. Tomorrow we'll continue by 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I hope you have a blessed day. I hope you sit tight. I want you to understand you need to stay calm. And I want you to understand you also need to be prayerful. For God is on your side. You'll make it big time this year. That is what I'm assuring you. So come in again tomorrow by 10 a.m. And I want you to understand we'll continue this episode. Bring your pen and paper, for your life will never be the same. From my studio here in Philadelphia, the city of love, of brotherly love, I say bye for now.